Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Be good for you to spend some time with kids who don't run around with cameras and monster makeup.
Could you close your eyes, please? Yeah. And action!
And action. It's summer movie time. This is a bit from Super 8 from Steven Spielberg and J.J. Abrams, and it's one of the highly anticipated potential blockbusters out there. Dana Stevens, Slate's film critic and co-host of their Culture Gabfest podcast, is joining me today to talk big movies and tomorrow to talk about indies and films with smaller marketing budgets. Hey, Dana, welcome back to WNYC.
Hey, hello, Brian.
So Super 8, Spielberg goes back to kids and aliens, this time with J.J. Abrams of Lost, Fringe, and last year's Star Trek. Along, will this recapture the magic of E.T.? Is that the goal?
I guess, I mean, it seems like a really natural combination, Spielberg and Abrams and summer movies and kids. It seems like it's going to be some odd mix of E.T. and Cloverfield, the J.J. Abrams movie that was sort of about a homemade accidental monster movie, and Bugsy Malone or something. When you look at the trailers, it's just all kids, completely populated by a cast of kids. So just for the simple reason that I like good child performances in movies, I'm kind of excited about that one.
What makes a summer movie for you? Is it school's out, we shouldn't be thinking too hard?
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point it's kind of money that makes a summer movie, unfortunately. It's just because that's the time of year that the studios, you know, reap all the rewards for any losses that they've gained over the rest of the year. But yeah, the dumb summer movie tradition is at least 30 years old now in Hollywood.
And I see that superheroes are back. Thor already opened. Then there's X-Men, First Class, Green Lantern, Captain America. All of these coming out at the same time. Is that a coincidence?
The superhero thing has just really gotten to be a glut, hasn't it? I mean, there's all the Marvel movies, and I forget now which of those movies are, you know, from Marvel comic books because I'm not enough of a comics person, but I think there's three Marvel comic book heroes coming out. So that's almost like, you know, a whole network franchise together. And then a whole bunch of other guys thrown into the mix. Actually, Cowboys and Aliens, another big summer movie, is sort of a comic book movie on its own because it's based on a big graphic novel.
Is this in spite of how Spider-Man is doing on Broadway?
Spider-Man, the superheroes have really not made the jump to other performance media at this point. But yeah, I think the superhero thing also comes back to the same question, that it's a known formula that makes money. And even when they don't, it's worth throwing those huge budgets at them to try to have that one big breakout movie.
One of the action films that you mentioned that's a little intriguing is Cowboys and Aliens. It's from the director of the Iron Man movies and stars Daniel Craig. One of my producers saw the trailer in a theater, and everyone laughed. It's so preposterous. But it's a straight-up action film, right?
I think it's a straight-up action film. And like I say, it's based on a graphic novel, which I don't know, and I now want to look at before the movie opens. But, I mean, it's just such an original idea and such a fabulous title that you sort of can't go wrong from there. It's like Snakes on a Plane. Who wouldn't want to see Cowboys versus Aliens? And Harrison Ford's in it, isn't he? So that seems like it's going to maybe draw some non-younger, you know, some audiences that don't go to every comic book movie.
Is Harrison Ford a cowboy or an alien?
That's a good question. He's got to be a cowboy, right?
You'd think he's got to be a cowboy. Thor already opened, as I said. How's that doing?
I think Thor had a really strong opening weekend. It beat Bridesmaids, too, and Bridesmaids had a very strong opening weekend. So I think Thor is still at the top of the box office at this point.
Ah, Bridesmaids. Funny you mention it. Seems to be an attempt to let women in on the fun. Here's a clip from that movie.
I am in my 30s. I have $40,000 in debt. I live with a weirdo.
You do have a super creepy roommate.
You read my diary?
At first, I did not know that it was your diary. I thought it was a very sad handwritten book.
Are you coming over tonight? I have big news.
Ooh, I can't wait.
I'm engaged.
What?
Will you be my maid of honor?
Of course.
All right, that from the coming film, Bridesmaids. Do you think it succeeded in making a chick flick crossover to appeal to Judd Apatow's male fans?
To me, it it did. I mean, I think a lot of audience are saying that it did, and it really had an amazingly strong opening for a female-centered comedy. It was, the second biggest movie of the weekend it opened. Also, unlike a lot of these movies, it's had really good word of mouth. I mean, people are reporting that it's good to their friends, and so people are going back to see it. I just thought it completely worked. I thought it was really charming. I don't know if there'll be a better comedy than Bridesmaids this summer.
And I hear they added, let's call them throw-up scenes, like about food poisoning, to make it more Judd Apatow-ish.
Yeah, I think those scenes were, I mean, the filmmakers, the writers, who are both women, have said that those scenes were leveraged in. I mean, I get the feeling watching the movie that they had a great deal of fun performing those scenes, and that it was really liberating for them to bust out and play big and play gross. And the gross-out scenes are not necessarily my thing, but I didn't think that they compromised the integrity of the movie at all.
Which kind of cues a reference to Hangover Part 2, I guess, which opens this weekend.
Yeah, there's a franchise without any integrity compromise. Yeah, Hangover 2, I saw it last night, and it's pretty much programmably what you would expect after the first Hangover. I didn't really ever get the charm of that franchise in the first place.
Really?
But there's some people who really love it. I think maybe part of it is just that I find all those performers really charmless. There's not a single one of those guys that I want to spend a weekend with, much less a drunken week in bed.
They had some kind of copyright issue over a face tattoo, didn't they?
I guess apparently Mike Tyson's tattoo artist is upset that they used his tattoo on a character in the movie. I don't know much about this, but it seems a little crazy because that tattoo, isn't it a Maori design? Isn't it something from like a New Zealand tribal inspiration? I don't know how you could patent that image.
Men behaving badly. There will always be movies showing men behaving badly. And then, of course, finally, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2. That's a slam dunk, I guess.
Yeah, that's plonk right in the middle of the summer, and you know, I think maybe the big summer movie, just the big blockbustery style summer movie that I'm the most excited for. I think that the Harry Potter film franchise has really been terrific and has really slowly built itself into its own world that's quite. It makes a lot of sense, even if you haven't read the books. I'm saving the books to read with my daughter when she's old enough to read Harry Potter, but I'm quite a follower of the movies and very curious to see who's the character that's going to die in this last installment.
Very, and I can tell you with my own kids, both the books and the movies have been devoured, and it's not always the case. And even when they're different from the books, these movies have had great appeal, at least in my circles, and have been seen as true enough to the book to be satisfying to Harry Potter readers. All right, Dana Stevens, Slate's film critic and co-host of the Culture Gab Fest podcast. So tomorrow you'll be back at the same time, and we'll talk about other movies, the films, we'll call them, that are not quite as loud, some of the indies, etc. Talk to you then.
Okay, I look forward to it.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, FM and AM New York, and WNYC.org. Thanks a lot for listening today. The Leonard Lopate Show, right after the latest news.